and it's salvation. And that's what I'm talking about this morning. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Why isn't, this is the question I'm going to ask you this morning. Why isn't just being good, good enough? Good question, isn't it? Good question. In Colossians 21:21-22, it says, "This includes you who were once far away from God. You were," oh, you may be seated. I thought I heard you in the background. Let me start this over again. Colossians 1:21-22. It says, "This includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and your actions. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. And as a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault." Oh, isn't that something? Not a one of us in here, not a one of us in here are that good. God is good. God is the one that's good. Hallelujah. No one in here can be good to save himself or herself. If we want to live eternally with Christ, we must totally depend on God's grace. We all must come to him, whether we have been murderers or honest and hardworking people. We have all sinned repeatedly, and any sin is enough to require us to come to Jesus Christ for salvation and for eternal life. I know you hear a lot of things in a lot of ways, but there isn't. It's only through Jesus Christ. Apart from Christ, we have no way for our sins to be forgiven and be removed. The way to be free from sin is to trust Jesus Christ to take it away. We must stand firmly in the truth of the good news, which is God's word, and never let go of our confidence in Jesus to forgive our sins, to make us right with God, and to empower us to live the way that he desires us to live. When God forgives your sins, oh, and I love this, he wipes your record clean. He looks at you as though you've never, ever sinned, no matter what you have done or what you are or what you are like. He wipes it away. God offers forgiveness to you and to me. And every time I read these scriptures about being clean and being washed by the blood and God forgive me, I always think about the song, "Whiter Than Snow." Whiter than snow. Oh, thank you, Jesus. In Hebrews 7:28, the law appointed the high priest who were limited by human weaknesses. But after the law was given, God appointed his son with an oath, and his son has been made the perfect high priest forever. There is nothing that we can do to make salvation more real for us or to make him love us more. Jesus has done it all. Nothing we do can improve his work. Nothing we do adds to God's acceptance of Jesus Christ. Nothing. How do these benefits become ours? Simply accepting the gift of salvation by faith and trusting. All we can do is say, "Thank you, Jesus, for saving me." And in Hebrews 9:14, it says, "Just think how much more the blood of Christ will purify our consciences from sinful deeds so that we can worship the living God. For by the power of the eternal Spirit, Christ offered himself to God as a perfect sacrifice for our sins." I know sometimes those are hard to believe, and sometimes it's hard to comprehend all this. But like I said last week, if it's settled in your heart, you'll believe what the word says if you've got it settled and you know that Jesus Christ is your Savior. When the people sacrificed animals, they were ceremonially acceptable according to the Old Testament law. Now consider how much more Christ's sacrifice transforms our lives and hearts and made us clean from sin on the inside. His sacrifice far exceeds what animal sacrifices did. No sin or shortcomings on our part will ever be settled. It is complete with him. Total forgiveness. Now listen this morning. Sinful deeds are more than just wrong actions. They can also be our attempts to reach God by trying to be good enough. We can't. We cannot be good enough. People and young people glorify personal achievements. It defines a successful person as one who obtains certain goals, financial security, health, fitness, and respect of others. But let me say to you this morning, the Bible gives us a different picture of successful living, accepting Jesus, sacrifice for our sins, and for sinful deeds, and allowing the blood of Christ to purify our conscience. You know, when I went home last week, I thought, now God, you give me what you want me to talk about. And I thought, now, God already knows who's going to be here. And he already knows who's going to need it. And not only that, sometimes I think we all need it, because we all sometimes need to refresh our minds. Amen. We need to know that forgiveness is real. And we need to know that we were bought with a price, and it's the blood of Jesus. That's the gift that he's given to each and every one of us. And I'll say it over again, it's a choice. That's what I love about it. God gave us the choice. No matter what we do, where we go, what we say, how we talk, whatever, God gave us a choice. So it's back into your hands again. So if you want to live for Christ, you choose this day who you will serve. You choose this day. Father, I come to you today, and I lift up your name, Lord, and I know, God, that you are here right now with us. And I'm praying, Father God, in your name, that, Lord, this will touch somebody. We all need you, and we all know you sent your son, Father God. We can stand up here and sing, I am free. I am free because you have covered me with your blood. You have forgiven me with your blood. And there is no other God, no other God under the sun. None, none, none. We know, Jesus, you're the answer. Oh, we love you, Lord. We'll forever give you all the praise and all the glory, Lord. God, I ask you right now not to let one person leave this building this morning, God, that don't know you, that don't want to feel your presence morning. Almighty God, Almighty God, we love you, Lord. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Help each and every one of us, Lord. We know we're in the last days. I pray in the name of Jesus, God, touch each and every one of us this day. In your name, Father. In your name we come. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you. Tell you right now to trust in me, says the Lord. Trust in me. I will be the one to be your healer. I'll be the one that will touch you. I'll be with you. My presence is here with you this day. My presence is here, says the Lord. Oh Jesus, oh Jesus, oh Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, ba 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 di asi. Oh, ba 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 shia ba 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 di asi. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus.
Come on, any of you that need
the name of Jesus. Oh, God.
Something from God. Jesus. We've got a tremendous loving God. You haven't gotten what you deserve. But God's grace will outshine and outdo anything that you can do on your own. Last Monday night, we started a monthly prayer meeting. Had a real good turnout. So start marking the first Monday of each month from here on out for a night of prayer. Just one short hour that we're asking, 6 to 7 o'clock, and you'll be out at 7 o'clock. I want to remind you that I also encourage you to come in prior to any service that you're attending. Tomorrow night's WOW meeting. So if you want to come in and spend a few minutes in here, not only praying for WOW, but LPA in general. Because this time of prayer is not something that is lightly taken. I know we've tried prayer meetings in the past, weekly ones, one day or one night a week to come together. But this is only one Monday night, the first Monday night of the month. But you can also come in prior to, or if you want to stay a little bit after, pray for the church. Pray that we're doing what God wants us to do. And I know all of our leadership will definitely appreciate and feel and sense your prayers for them. That'll get you in a habit of coming early, too. Amen? Instead of beating it's like at the high schools. You got the teenagers getting there right before the bell rings. Just in the nick of time. But don't trust your salvation and your soul just in the nick of time. Because God went all out. Amen? You okay? I feel you, sis. I know what that's. I got a Seprocol if you want one. Numbs the throat. Tastes horrible, but... But our idea of prayer meeting for that one Monday a month is also for your growth and your maturity. If there is none in you, then it's called you're dying. Don't have to be going backwards. But if you're not going forwards, if you're not growing, if you're not reaching forward, then you're dying. That's a proven fact. We want to see this fruit from our prayer meetings. And you hear me praying many, many times, God, we pray for the lost. We pray for the dying. We want souls to be saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, fire and power. With the evidence of speaking in other tongues as the Lord gives the utterance. We want to see more signs, wonders, and miracles following us who believe. And we need to also see the spiritual gifts in operation. More spiritual gifts in operation. Because each one, it says, as in Hebrews 2:4, God also bearing witness both in signs and wonders with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit. What's that last little part say? According to His will. He can use any one of us in the gifts and the operation and the unction and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. There's one of us. Amen. Yeah. Amen. There you go. Yeah. I knew you had one in you. Better be some more. Last week, I know I read the scripture text found in Genesis 18:14. I've been real easy on Brother Paul. One scripture is all I have. But like I said when we read it last week, there's three different messages. in this one little verse. Genesis 18:14 says, "Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too difficult?" Absolutely not. "At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." Abraham and Sarah was getting ready to have a miracle from God. And Abraham and Sarah ended up standing on the promise that she would have a son. And I'm so glad that she was willing and obedient. The question is for you today, is there anything too hard for the Lord? The answer is positively and undeniably and definitely not. If you answered anything but that, you got it wrong. The answer is in our own heart. Each one of us has to answer that. And some days, it's many times a day. That's one thing that we think about. We get up in the morning, we say our prayers, and we don't ask God for anything the rest of the day until we get ready to go to bed and say, "God, keep your hand upon me as I sleep. Amen." But God wants to hear from us during the day, from morning till night, till dusk, till dawn as well. I don't know how many days I get up and I usually will try to read or do something. That's my sleeping pill. Get your Bible out and you'll read and fall asleep pretty quickly. And hey, you're no different than me. Answer to the question, it has absolutely nothing is too hard for our God. What about your God? Because He's an intimate God. He's a God that wants a relationship with His children. He doesn't want to be a distant father. He wants to be a father that listens and hears and intervenes and moves. We've got a big brother, Jesus Christ, sitting at the right hand. Here lately, I've been paying attention to some of the things that are happening, the different ways. And the other day I was watching, and I think it was Benjamin Netanyahu was with President Trump, following him up on the platform. And I thought, well, is he going to go across the stage and take the left podium, or is he going to be on the right podium? Well, he stopped at the right podium and let Benjamin Netanyahu go over as his guest. When we stop and think that God is on the throne and Jesus Christ is sitting at the right hand of the Father, that's in place of honor. The right hand of someone is the place of honor. God is truly doing some great things for His church in these last days. Amen. Regardless of your circumstances you are in or the desperation that you feel, there is help. We had a message in tongues. Yes, I was just out, but I heard every word of it. He's here this morning. He's here to do what He needs to do and help where He needs to be help found in. But I know He's a gentleman. He's not going to overshoot His goal or His presence. But we need to understand He's here for help. He's here for deliverance. Yeah. And most importantly, He's here for freedom. The second message was talking about fear. What cancels out freedom? Fear. Why do you think the government wants to keep you under their wraps, in control? And they use fear. Oh, Lord, you ought to see some of the looks I get when I start my coughing fit in a store or a restaurant. Karen says they probably think you got COVID. I said, well, I got a test that says I don't have COVID, so nah, 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 nah. Fear. What do they use when they come for us? Oh, they're going to take everything away from us. Well, God says, I am the spirit of freedom. Yeah. He's the one that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. So why don't we have more God power in us, working and helping us and delivering us from ourselves? Amen. If you got a problem, take it to the Lord. Let Him help you. Don't be stubborn and foolish, but be the one that will say, God, I know I can't. And I know sometimes we think, well, God gets tired of hearing from us. No, He doesn't. I didn't speak to my son for 2 days. I told Sister Karen, I said, well, I haven't heard from him yesterday or today, which is unusual. He's one that wants to know how I'm feeling every day, what I'm doing. And that's the way God is. He wants to hear from His children. He already knows what you have need of, but He wants to have you ask Him for it. He needs you to ask Him for it. Why? Because the devil needs to hear you ask God to overcome that problem, that situation. Maybe it's a habit. Maybe it's this, that, or the other. It doesn't matter what it is. It's according to the power that works within us. Oh God, send the power just now. Amen. Your assurance of these miracles, signs, and wonders only comes through God in prayer. Never doubt God's ability. The Bible clearly teaches that with God all things are possible to him that what? Believes. That's Mark 9:23. Who made the world out of nothing, Hebrews 11:3. Hung the world upon nothing, Job 26:7. We need a visitation of God.
Yes, amen.
We need a visitation of God because God does some great things in here that affects us out there. Amen. If you're struggling with some time issues in your life, you need to ask God to help you. And He can prioritize what is good and what is waste. And He burns away the chaff, the waste. Amen? In times of stress in the Old Testament, we see Moses. Picture Moses at the edge of the Red Sea. You have mountains to the right, mountains to the left. You have a big sea ahead of you. Nothing but water. And you turn around and look, and there's a cloud of dust of the Egyptian army coming to get them. That's not stress. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want to be standing there looking at that stuff. But what happened? God took care of them, didn't He? Let them cross on dry ground. What about Daniel in the lion's den? God gave him lockjaw. Daniel didn't have to say, here, kitty, kitty, kitty. Well, at least you're listening. There wouldn't be any stress in that, being thrown in a cave or whatever it was that he was thrown into with hungry lions that haven't been fed for days. There wasn't any pressure on or stress on Elijah either. He knew all the little dirty tricks of the sorcerers and the prophets of old. He knew that they liked to build little fires underneath their sacrifice fire and would burn a little bit and then finally catch fire. That's why he used barrels of water to drench it. What did God do? He licked up every last drop. It was gone. And then they chased the prophets. What about times of stress in the New Testament? Jesus himself, he reached three times into eternity through prayer. Jesus did not become the resurrection and life to raise the dead. He arose because he is the resurrection and he is the life. Amen. Jairus' daughter was raised from the dead in Luke 8. You can read about it later. The widow of Nain's son was raised from the dead in Luke chapter 7. In John chapter 11, Lazarus was raised from the dead. What a miracle worker he was. Remember, he is the resurrection and the life. No one goes to the Father except through Jesus. The apostles prayed at Mount Olive and in the upper room, and the Holy Ghost descended. Amen. All were with one accord, one time, one place. The early church had Peter in prison. Church knocked on heaven's door in prayer. For Peter, what'd God do? He shook the jail, released the prisoners. And Peter was the one that knocked on their door then. What about today, experiencing times of stress of today? Prayer is still the answer for all personal needs. Salvation, health, family issues, kids' issues. Oh, we got some perfect ones, don't we? You don't think so? I do. Because I know what God can make of them. Oh, yeah. Amen. When they start working for Him. Amen. What about financial needs? Lord, have mercy. We went out to Walmart the other day, and every time we walk by the eggs, we look. Because we got used to buying a 5 dozen square box. Over $27 for 5 dozen. Yeah, we about had a heart attack too. Oh, Lord, here I come. It's the big one. Excuse me. I just had to have a fit. You started it. See, my super call's starting to wear off now. Prayer's still the answer for all of mankind. When we understand about poverty, why do you think Pastor in Haiti wants us to pray? For protection, for poverty, for food. Amen. What about prayer is still the answer for peace, purity, holiness. Amen? God is still holy. No matter how impossible the circumstances, no matter how great the stress and strain may be, if you come to God believing that with Him all things are possible, and that Him and with Him nothing is too hard, you are inspired to believe that God is going to answer your prayer. Would you stand with me? Signs, miracles, wonders, all are accomplished by prayer. If you weren't here last week, you need to watch. Go to our website, or you can listen to it as well. And some of the testimonies. Brother Bill, you said something several different times. That was, God needs to be real to each of us. Excuse me. God needs to be real to each of us. To you. Doesn't matter which side of the track you're from, what side of town you're from. Doesn't matter how much education you have. What matters is that you believe that He's real, that He's able to save, that He's able to sanctify, that He's able to use you, that He's able to bless you. And one other thing that stuck with me from last week's service was the realness of God in dispatching His grace. Too often times, I don't know what it is about people, but we always put things off. We're procrastinators. That's human nature, I guess, but we need to get to a different level. We put off what we need to do today. Prayer will always accomplish what you pray for and the faith that you believe in. Always. Would you bow your heads? Close your eyes if that helps you out. Nothing will distract you. First thing I want to say is what a wonderful Savior we have. Doesn't matter what your background is either. Savior, wonderful Savior. Yes, you can rest assured that we can always come to Him when we're weary and heavy laden. He will hear our prayers and He will give you rest. While your heads are bowed and eyes are closed, the most important decision that you can make for the Lord is simply surrendering your life, your talents, your gifts to Him. It's called salvation. Salvation. Does not mean that you're going to be perfect. just that you're forgiven. How wonderful of a testament your life can be when Jesus is your Savior. A wonderful Savior. The nice thing about it is if you receive Christ as your personal Savior, the rest of your life will be according to His terms and His plans and His will. Jesus said, "I am the way, the life, and the truth. No one cometh to the Father except by me." I don't care who the oldest one or who's been saved the longest. They're still learning about the Word and about God, about that relationship. Will anybody raise their hand in here and say, "That's me, Pastor Tracy. I need to be saved. I need to make Christ my personal Savior." Come on. What a day this can be. We serve a living Lord, a risen Savior, one who makes intercession for us. What about the rest of the list, the healings, the miracles? Will you say, "It's me, Lord"? And would you give us the great privilege of praying with you? Maybe it's a healing. Maybe it's a deliverance. Maybe it's just some more growth and maturity. Come on, is there anyone in here? If you're watching by live stream, Facebook Live, maybe it's you. Shoot us a message. Let us know what you need, and we'll pray with you as a group and as a body of believers. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, I know, Lord, that the Holy Ghost has implanted this word today. With every miracle, with every sign, with every Holy Ghost unction and moving, the word does not return to you void, but it accomplishes your divine will, your plan, and your purpose. We thank you, Lord, for all that you have done, all that you continue to do. And just like the little kid's song that we used to sing, "He's still working on me." In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.